Father, we thank you that there is no difficulty or situation or problem that any of us could have that has escaped your attention. You know all these things. And as we turn to you, you minister to us solutions and peace and prosperity and health. And we thank you, Father, even when we're not good, you are. Hallelujah. We thank you for that today. We say so in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 I pray in Jesus' name that the word is ministered right now effectively to you, that the Holy Ghost teaches, guides, and instructs, and you receive what you need today. And I pray in Jesus' name that this congregation has listening ears, hearing ears, open hearts, hearing hearts, that the word seed, when it goes in, produces a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, we thank you for these precious moments. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been on a new series that I have called Made for Dominion. And we're going to again start with Psalm chapter 8. Turn there, if you would. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And we'll say it again, just to burn it into you. That word angels is mistranslated. In Hebrew, it is the word Elohim. And everywhere else, Elohim is translated God. So the proper reading of this verse is, you have made him a little lower than God. Amen. And then it says, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So we've been talking about dominion, as it says here. And it says in this sixth verse that man was made for dominion, or made to have dominion. A dominion is a realm or an area of authority, a place where you rule and reign. You do need to think like a king. You ever play that little game in your mind? Boy, if I was king, if I was in charge, I'd fix this, I'd fix that, you know, I'd say this and that. Well, you are king or queen, and you are in charge. Amen. You were made for dominion. And we touched on this previously. We are a God class being. In the United States Navy, when they build a new prototype ship, they will name that ship. And every ship that is similar afterwards is called by the name of the first one. And it's called, for instance, aircraft carriers right now. There's quite a bit of revisions. And the new one is the Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier. Under construction now is the John F. Kennedy. It is a Gerald R. Ford class aircraft carrier. So the original is God. We were made a little lower. So you might say we are God class beings. We've taught various parts of that at different times, but you are made a lot more like God than you think. Amen. Now, I happened to be, while driving home through Missouri, seeing billboards that had to do with some kind of an animal preserve and wildlife and so on, and maybe even there was something on St. Louis Zoo, but I kept seeing this picture of a monkey. And you know what they tell us about evolution and so on. And some of that is based on how close primates are to people. And we're just a step away. And I was thinking about that, and I thought to myself, that's not what's amazing. It's not amazing how close monkeys are to people. To me, what's amazing is how different people are from monkeys.
Oh, there you go.
For instance, as far as I know, no monkey ever built a fire.
There you go.
I mean, people talk about their intelligence and problem solving and all that. Okay, so they can take a stick, poke it in a hole in a tree and pull out termites or ants and eat them. First of all, you got to wonder about their intelligence if they're eating the termites. But to celebrate that as a similarity, come on now. The differences are so vast. Monkeys aren't close to us. Monkeys are far, far, far below us. There's so much distance there that what I marvel at is how much like God we are, and monkeys are not. Maybe some people aren't all that far from a monkey. I don't know. But think about the accomplishments and how things happen. Now, just because it caught my attention in the last couple of weeks, I've watched a couple of YouTube videos that have to do with how computers work, how computer chips work, how they're made. And right now there's a revolution going on in computer chip programming but chips in Apple products. Apparently they've switched the kind of chip that they make now, and what's available in the latest iPhone and iPads is a chip so fast it's as powerful as desktop computers on speed and what it can do and all that kind of thing, you know. Well, some videos on how does that really work? And everything is based on positive and negative charges. So, for instance, every color in the color spectrum can be written down digitally. So if you're going to see a picture, say on a telephone, it had to be stored as a sequence of positive, negative charges on a chip somewhere. So the number of, they call them ones and zeros, the numbers of ones and zeros that's required for a high resolution picture is in the trillions of digits. How many pictures can fit on your phone? Hundreds, if not thousands, depending on the size of the chip inside that phone. So it's an almost inconceivable amount of positive and negative charges stored somewhere. And so these things are so tiny and being miniaturized now that, you know, you can only look at representations, animations of them. But a little chip inside your phone like that, the way it's put together in layers where they print different materials on top of layers of semiconductors and so on, it's just mind-blowing. It's all based on transistors. But the number of transistors on one chip now is in the absolute trillions. How could that little chip have trillions and trillions of structures? Wow. I don't think not one monkey has even thought about how to do a light bulb, let alone a computer chip. So it's not amazing how much monkeys are like humans, or how close we are. What's amazing is how different we are. And if evolution was true, that men came from apes and such, there would be various forms in between as well. Why did only one evolve into a separate, so far advanced compared to the others? Same amount of time. Why didn't they advance? So it's all baloney, of course. What is man that you are mindful of him? You have made him a little lower than God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have dominion. The creation of man in Genesis 1, where he was made to have dominion on the earth. He was told to subdue the earth, fill it. It's quite explicit that men have authority upon the earth. We were created that way. I will have you look at Luke 10:19 again. Jesus speaking, "Behold, I give you the authority." See, a dominion is a place of authority. It's a region of authority. It's a realm of authority. So really, when we're talking about dominion, we're talking about authority. And we may start from here on forward. I don't know how long we might go on this subject. But we may start using dominion and authority interchangeably.
Yes.
We're talking about the same thing. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So in talking about man and his place in created everything, we know that demon spirits didn't start out as demon spirits, that Satan led a rebellion and they fell, and their nature became completely corrupted and so on. When a demon spirit manifests itself, shows itself, it's a little bit unsettling. And in some cases, you know, people even can have fear of such things. But Jesus is telling us that those class of beings, we have been given authority over them. We have authority over, in the words of Jesus, all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, when I was in high school, a movie came out that made quite the stir. Actually, I don't remember exactly what year, and I've never seen the movie. The Exorcist, yes, that was it. All of the Hollywood depictions are that the people of God are victims of that demon spirit, can't do nothing about it, and you got to really, 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 really fight them, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. That's many people's, even religious people's, that's their idea. You know, don't say that. The devil will hear you, then he'll come after you. Well, when you know your authority, you do say that because he will hear you. How that movie should have been gone would be about 10 minutes long, and somebody like Dr. Lester Sumrall would walk in and command that spirit out of her in Jesus' name. And she can spin her head if she wants for a couple of minutes, but that spirit comes out. Amen. Amen. And maybe nobody wants to admit they've seen the movie, but isn't a priest killed in the movie or something like that?
Yeah.
Killed two of them? Okay. See? Not saying she saw the movie or anything like that, you know. She backslids then, yeah. Yeah. You got it all right now, though, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got saved after that movie? I have heard of that before. Yeah, it scared people. It scared people. I just remember, even, you know, if it was 74, do you know the year that the movie came out? Was that about the time? 74, 75, you know, I was just starting in high school and all that, but I remember the stir in culture from that movie and the fear associated with demonic power and forces. And of course, they've gone crazy with Chucky and all kinds of stuff, you know, and what's the guy with the mask and the claws and Freddy Krueger, right? Everybody has all their favorite. Did you see that too? No. And this time of year with Halloween approaching, I've noticed you can't turn on the TV, but it's going to be a horror show of some kind. And ain't doing that. Ain't doing that, you know. Anyway. So this is the common perception of such things. And unfortunately, even inside the church and God's people, it's still prevalent that way. But Jesus said that he gave authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Now, if you have to deal with such things, it can be uncomfortable. And some of you know we had an episode with somebody outside the building already this morning where that's what's going on. For me, it was last night during the night, and police called and all that kind of stuff, and here again this morning. And police tell us there's limited things that they can do. Well, we'll take care of it with our dominion. All right? You praise the name of Jesus. Even if you just walked the perimeter worshiping Jesus, demon spirits can't stand where Jesus is praised. Amen. To have dominion is to have authority. Authority has an author. Can you see that right in the Word?
Yes.
Authority has an author. All authority originates from God. All authority originates from God, and every authority on the earth is a delegation from God, perhaps to the next, to the next, to the next, or it's usurped. There are people who have seized authority, and that is not from God. And that's a different thing. I happened to have dinner next to a missionary. We were talking about what's it like in China. He was saying, it is so ungodly, so wicked, so evil. Communism, socialism, every flavor of it. He says it's absolutely demonic. And what it does to people, they control everything. This fascination in our country with socialism right now, these people don't know what they're talking about. And he was talking about people being disappeared. They're just, all of a sudden, where are they? Well, they're just gone. In the night, they're picked up and they're gone forever. You know, if they speak out against the government, he is working kind of underground with churches. Some of it's out in the open, some of it's underground. And they said they got to be very careful about some of the things that they do there. So that is a usurpation of authority. God didn't ordain that kind of government. In fact, where authority has an author, it has a recognition of authority. This is where the United States is completely unique and different from all other nations. And what's being right now contested in our culture and society is, where does authority lie? In all of our founding documents and ideas, it starts with, we the people. And the idea that is slowly being torn down is, who is the highest authority in the land? And the answer is the individual in our nation. For instance, a contemporary issue would be a vaccine. It's your body. Do you get to decide what goes into your body or not? Are you the highest authority, or do you have to obey what the government tells you to do? Right? This is where the United States is unique. No other nation is established on the people being the highest authority. In every other nation, the government is the highest authority. And in our founding documents, certain inalienable rights. These rights come from God. And it's pretty clear in our documents. So God has delegated to us authority in our own lives. And at least our founding documents and how things used to be, people recognize that. Anymore, it's changing. And a lot of people just want the government just to tell everybody what to do. Those people are the problem. Go tell them what to do. Right? So it's always a question of authority and where does it originate from? And I think rightly so. Our nation recognized authority comes from God. And the highest authority in the land is the people. For instance, it's common now, gay marriage in states. There is not a single state in this union that voted for gay marriage being legal. It is only by legislatures and courts. It is not the will of people. And you would think California would be the worst, right? California had it as something they voted on several times, and it was voted down every time. So that is a usurpation of authority, I believe. So authority has an author. Authority can only be given, or dominion can only be given. It is not taken to oneself. If I have any authority, it is given me ultimately by God. I cannot take authority upon myself. If I take authority on myself, it is illegitimate authority. Amen. And there's a lot of illegitimate authority around on this earth. Ultimately, all authority comes from God as He delegates. Amen. But what we're talking about today is boundaries. Boundaries. If you have a realm, if you have an authority, you have to know where the boundaries are. because you want to operate in what's delegated to you by God. You don't want to seize authority outside, because that would be illegitimate. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul here, and his authority was questioned from time to time, and he saw illegitimate and seized authority in the case of some church people. But here 2 Corinthians 10:13 says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but," pay attention to this, "within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us," a sphere which especially includes you. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says he's not going to talk about things outside of his sphere, his realm, his dominion, his boundaries. And he reminds the church at Corinth, and in that realm, in those boundaries, especially includes you all. Why? Because Paul founded, established the church there. He was the apostle who founded the church. That was why he had authority in that church. And he, in other places, goes at length talking about other men's foundations and so on, and he would not build in another man's field and some of those kinds of things. I guess in that regard, I might claim a similar sphere. Pastor Sandy and I founded this church. And I won't say we're apostles, but in that part of the definition, we are. We're the apostles of God, sent and founded this church. Amen. So he says, a sphere which especially includes you, for we are not overextending ourselves. Now, for him to say that, that means it's possible to overextend yourself. Right? I don't know if you know it or not, but you've seen people overextend their authority and attempt to dominate you. Were you talking about church people, Christian people? Yeah. Yes, we are. Some overextend. Maybe they don't know, and maybe there's other motives. But here he says, we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. Very clear, he's talking about authority. He's talking about a dominion. He's talking about a realm. Then he says, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. And that's where authority was delegated to him. He came preaching, teaching, founded the work and the church. That's where his authority came from. So authority has a sphere. Authority has a boundary. Every man, and of course when I say man, I say woman as well. We don't distinguish there. You're created by God also. Every person has a realm, has a domain, has a sphere of authority. Every person, especially the believer, has a realm, has a domain. And every person, every man, needs to clearly know the extent of that realm, the boundaries of his dominion. This is where trouble comes, when you don't know what are the boundaries. What are the boundaries? I have a neighbor who lives on my street that's got a couple of pit bull dogs, you know. They look like they mean business. And across, they have fence on three sides, and across the front, they've laid down this wire that I think is supposed to eventually go in the ground, and then they wear this collar. If they get too far, they just get the little warning, jingle, and then a zit, you know, a good zap. They are attempting to teach the animals the boundaries of their dominion. Right? And even a dog can learn where the boundary is. And when they step over the boundary, they're going to get hit. Now, I've seen some dogs, even when they get hit, they just power through, and then they're on their way, and, you know, just, and sometimes there's remotes for helping train the dog, right? You know, you might say, well, that's mean and cruel. Some dogs need it. Some dogs need it. So anyway, it's about knowing the boundaries. And when you buy a property, a home, a building, land, almost always a survey is performed, right? survey, of course, is on paper. It's on file at the county. But right there on the piece of ground, I have a new next-door neighbor, so they recently surveyed the property there. There are stakes with flags. And because those things tend to get lost, I went over, put some pipes in or something sticking up, and I'll decide, you know, what exactly to do with that a little bit later and something more permanent. You ever hear this? Fences make good neighbors. That's all about knowing the boundaries. And the same thing here, because you lose track of where a stake was once. And so who mows what grass? That was all over the place. And okay, no big deal in our case. But years ago, a man that used to live there bulldozed down a tree that was on my side of the line. And I went over and said, hey, you took down a tree that was on my side. And it was going to be mostly information, but he blew up at me. Well, there can be disputed boundaries sometimes, right? And when the stakes are there, it's very clear where it was. But surveys are done so that people know the boundaries of their property. And on your property, if you want to burn all the grass, plow it under, you can do whatever you want. Just saying, on your side of the line, you get to do what you want. It's in your dominion. But if it spills out over across the line into someone else's, now you're stepping on their dominion, and they can do something about that. So surveys, boundaries, I don't know that it's required in a real estate transaction, but it sure is a good idea to know specifically and exactly where these things are. It keeps from having trouble later. It keeps you from having disputes. What I'm talking about today is a survey. Boundaries. Knowing your boundaries. If you haven't done it, do it. Perform a survey. You may even create a document. What are the limits of my sphere? And you need to know that for two reasons. One, not to get over into somebody else's, but two, to protect your own. If you don't know what's yours, you don't know to protect it. You don't know to run off others. Now, I remember growing up where mom and dad had property. The next door neighbor there was a farmer, and he ran into some scenario where property after his, when a survey was done, they found out the fence was some feet onto the ground. So the guy says, hey, you got to move your fence. You're on my ground. And the farmer says, nope, it's an ancient boundary. It can't be moved. And he claimed that ground. So apparently there are laws. If that fence has been there for X number of years, it becomes the property line. Did y'all know that? And I don't know what the time base is, but that's what happened there. That farmer said, that fence has been there for a generation, whatever number of years it is. And even though the survey says the line is over here, this fence says it's over there. Amen. So that land was lost to the rightful owner because previously it wasn't disputed. Previously, nobody knew something was on their domain, something was in within their boundaries. So here's what you can do. Move your fence over on your neighbor's yard, and if you can get away with it for 50 years, it's yours.
They're all family.
They're all family? That don't matter. That don't matter. That'd make it more fun. I'm kidding. But what I'm getting at is property stakes. You may have seen there's a couple here at our church property. It's reestablishing those. There's a major study going on and where all the water goes on this church property. Clearly where those lines are, I know what's ours. I know what's not. And if somebody comes over on ours, we'll defend it. And we know to don't go over on theirs. So think of it like a survey, boundaries. You have dominion. There are boundaries. If a man or a woman does not know their boundaries And the boundaries are going to be a little bit different for every person. There are some things that are common to us and some things that are different among us. For instance, God may place us in the kingdom in different responsibilities, and we may grow in responsibility. And a place where you're set in the body of Christ, there is a dominion with that. And if God changes your assignment, your dominion changes with it. So here in this room, we might have different dominions, different boundaries, depending on where God has called us in the body, where we are placed in the body. I've already spoken a little bit about being the founding pastor here. And I use the word apostle. I'm not trying to claim apostle here. But one sense of the word is sent to start a work of God. And in that sense, yes, okay. But with that comes boundaries and a sphere that will include things that, let's say, a praise and worship leader assigned that realm won't have all of the same boundaries and responsibilities. Like Miriam and Aaron, well, Moses, we're anointed too, you know. And they got outside of their boundaries, outside of their dominion. If you're familiar with the story, God rebuked them sharply. And Miriam, for instance, was struck with leprosy. And Moses went to interceding for her. She was out of bounds. She was outside of her survey. The Lord said, Moses, you intercede for her. And he did. And she was healed of the leprosy immediately. But she was to stay outside the camp. I think it was 1 month before she would be allowed back in the camp, you see. So God knows where these boundaries are. And you can get in trouble with Him stepping outside the boundaries. And one should be very careful. As a pastor, I should be very careful. What are my boundaries, particularly with someone that comes to the church? From time to time, pastors abuse those boundaries. Maybe they're unclear of what those boundaries are. You and I both, we need to survey, know where are the boundaries and know them accurately. And if we know them accurately, we can operate effectively in our dominion. Maybe this is a sub-point. You know, you won't operate effectively in dominion if you don't know where it is. You don't know the realm of your authority. So, if a man doesn't know his boundaries, two things can happen. Two things. Number one, he will be ineffective. Let's just stop there for a second. You and I both have seen so much ineffectiveness in people functioning in their dominion. How many people have said this and that in the name of Jesus and command something and it doesn't happen? Why? They're probably outside their boundaries and heard, this is what you say. And Jesus taught, in my name, you'll do various things. But if you don't really know where the boundaries are, you can be pushed off of your realm. So you can be ineffective in exercise dominion in things that are within the boundaries, things that are within your charge. Remember, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, they that believe, among other things, will cast out devils. So if you, in the name of Jesus, cast out a demon, and that demon acts up, if you don't know for sure that you're within your dominion, you'll go, huh, why'd that happen? I thought I could command in the name of Jesus and that spirit would come out. It will. But Jesus didn't say there won't be a fight. Jesus himself had spirits act up. And he would tell them, shut up, stop that. We may need to grow in skill and confidence in our dominion, and something like that, casting a spirit out, there is the factor of, does that person want that spirit out? Because if they don't, you know, they're going to hang on to it. And there you go. There's a boundary. You can cast out a spirit in the name of Jesus if you believe, if they want it out. Jesus passed up a lot of demonics and did nothing about it. First, it had to be determined. They have a heart for deliverance. Do they want to be delivered? So the first thing that can happen is we can be very ineffective within our realm and our charge, within our sphere, because we're not sure it's in our sphere. Right? I mean, you're pretty sure if you own a home, it's your home. And if somebody's in the home, you don't wonder, can I have the police take them out or something like that? You know, I mean, do they get to stay? Because, you know, I thought it was my home, but they're living in it. So is it their home or is it my home? Would you get pretty strong about that? This is my house and you cannot stay. I mean, if you come home and you discover somebody in your house, do you ask the question, oh, it was mine, but I guess it's theirs now. You know? What's that saying? Possession's 9/10 of the law? Yeah, I don't know. You may have a fight to get them out, but you know this is my house and you are not going to stay. Amen. A couple other examples where you may see that start to falter. If we've raised kids, we have kids in our house. Sometimes we need to say, this is my house. And as long as you live in my house, these are the rules. You don't like these rules, you can get another house. Amen. So understanding dominion, there's a question of parental dominion. And if you don't know the boundaries, you may be ineffective in exercising your dominion. And of course, if you don't do this while they're young, it's going to be really tough when they get older. Really tough. So one who is ineffective in exercising dominion, they're not, maybe not sure where their dominion is. They become soft, weak. They're not creating their future. They're floating along as circumstance dictates. This is a person who's easily moved off of their seat of authority. If it's your seat of authority, your realm, you don't move off of it. The enemy, people around you, will push you off your seat of authority if you will let them. So this all happens from lack of understanding of boundaries, lack of effectiveness in enforcing what's yours. So this is one area where a lot of believers get in trouble. Is your body within your domain? Yeah. And it's really a question of, is it in anybody else's domain? Yes and no. Family members? Parents with children? Husband and wife? And I understand my wife is within my domain and realm. And I'm not saying, I'm the boss of her. I'm the boss of her. That's not what I'm talking about. But I have something to say about her health and her body. And when the enemy attacks her, it's within my charge to do something about it and to drive him off. So if your body is in your domain and your realm, if you don't know that and know that well and know how to fight that fight, the enemy will push you off of your seat of authority and you'll say, well, I guess this is the best I can hope for. Or I guess God wanted me to have this disease or those kinds of things. And you've heard Christians say all kinds of things they don't fully know their realm of authority concerning their body. And they don't exercise that dominion and they don't exercise it strongly. You decide what stays or what leaves your body. When an attack comes on your body, are you not a temple of the Holy Ghost where God lives in your body? The scriptures teach us that, right? Well, then it's up to you what stays in your body. Amen. Now, it may be a great big fight. It may be a great big fight. And I know it can be difficult, and I know it can wear someone down and even wear them out. I understand that. But it all starts with, and the earlier you settle these things and work on them and grow skill in them, the more you'll maintain health through the years. And I suppose many of us, you know, it's when our health is threatened that we, start paying attention. But even then, you can overcome. This is your seat of authority. This is your dominion, your body. It's popularized by the wrong people, but it's true. My body, my choice. Amen? And I'm hearing some people say that concerning the vaccine, yeah. My body, my choice. This is an area where it is fully and completely within your sphere, within your realm. And when you ask pastor to pray for you, other believers to pray for you, they can, they do, but they have a sphere of authority and a realm of authority and dominion that is limited compared to yours. And no one's prayer for someone to be healed has the same effect, power, and dominion as the person themselves. And you see, we don't have time to teach it now, but the rules of how dominion operates, it must operate by faith. And so to attempt to operate dominion in your body concerning its health without faith doesn't work. I mean, it has to be, you have to be so sure and confident and how and why. This is my body. I have dominion over it. I'm going to speak, and this mountain's going to be moved. Yes. Amen. And then it will challenge you. Mm-hmm. But then what do? You speak it again. Yeah. And speak it again. Yeah. Speak it again. See, a king, when he's disobeyed, starts cutting off heads. Yeah. Starts executing the rebellious. Yeah. He doesn't say, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not the king. Maybe I went too far. Maybe I shouldn't hope for so much. No. You watch enough movies and whatever. Kings just get belligerent about it all, right? You don't follow my command, I cut off your head. Cut off your head, praise the Lord. That's how we need to be. You don't get out of my body, I cut off your head. You don't back down. To have a dominion that does not back down, you must know the boundaries and you must know where you stand. Are you standing in your dominion? If you are, you are the final word. God himself is not the final word. If it's a charged responsibility, if it is a granted authority, God himself can't do it. It's God's power that works in our bodies. But it's our realm that calls for it or doesn't. So one of two things can happen. And one of them is you don't know the boundaries. You get ineffective, soft, weak. You're pushed off of your throne, your seat of authority. You're pushed out of your dominion. And so many don't know they've been pushed out. And so many say, well, it must not have been the will of God and all that kind of stuff. Will God let that happen? He can't stop it. He can't stop it. Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he was very clear. The keys have changed possession, and it doesn't happen in heaven until somebody on the earth calls for it. Amen. So there are things in your life, until you demand it, until you call it, until you exercise your authority, heaven can't move. Boy, that would just make a lot of religious folk just burst in their heads, right? That sounds so backwards to so many. I mean, church I grew up in, yeah, that was so upside down. Well, how effective would I be in my dominion if I still thought like, I guess, whatever God's will. I mean, all the prayer was, if it be your will, if it be your will, if it be your will. Well, I know what his will is. They just didn't believe you could know the will of God. Even went through that in the hospital in Texas with Sandy, you know. He had a supposedly strong believer, can never know the will of God. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes no. And in this case, it's obviously he's saying no. I had to fight that off. Amen. In the hospital staff there. So the first thing that can happen is ineffectiveness. And as we look at this whole idea of God's people exercising their dominion in the earth today, I would have to say there's a whole lot of ineffectiveness. Right now, the church does not impress me as strong, dominating, prevailing, changing the world, at least not here in the U.S., you know, and even at a local level. And again, this week I was with many other ministers. It's all across this nation that people, there is a remnant. We are here, and we can do much in our own lives, but our nation, why are things going so bad? Because the church is so weak. We are not exercising the dominion as the body of Christ in our nation right now. Well, when that happens, you can still exercise your dominion. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. But ineffectiveness. The second one, two things can happen. The second one comes from people who attempt to have dominion outside the boundaries, who extend themselves into other dominions, whether it be in ignorance, they think they can, you know, don't know better, or they know and they just start pushing people around, or they're power hungry. It just about seems to me that's definition of a politician. It's power hungry. You know, you can't believe, why do they even want that? They want power, is the answer. So those who attempt to have dominion outside their boundaries, they attempt to force their will on others. From this, untold abuse and harm results. And I'm going to make a strong statement. When someone, even a Christian, moves outside their boundaries and starts throwing their weight around and tries to be forceful and force other people, they start dominating other people. They start getting followers after themselves. They self-appoint as a leader and so on. This is witchcraft. It is witchcraft. Because you are usurping. You are going outside your boundaries. Amen. You are taking authority and power to yourself that was not delegated to you. And in my years in the church, I've seen a lot of it inside the church. You'll hear the term spiritual head thrown around. Be careful with that one. Be real careful with that one. There's a lot of self-appointed spiritual heads. There's a lot of that. And then they dominate other people and tell them what they should do. You need to come to me and we'll pray. And what they're implying is my prayers will do what yours can't do. My faith will do what yours can't do. I remember even when we were in Bible school, Pastor Sandy and I served in the fifth grade Sunday night Sunday school class. One of the co-workers there in the class came to us, happened to be female, and said, I'm an intercessor. And boy, anything you need from God, especially if it's something that just hasn't worked out and it's been a long time, you just bring that to me and I'll get it for you from God. This is somebody that is outside their boundaries. But some of you can recall people who have kind of said things like that, you know. I've had individuals come to me, well, Pastor Dan, you're close to God. Would you pray for this and that and God will hear you? And I've gotten bold enough to say, no. I don't have authority surpassing yours. You need to see that through. You need to walk by faith. And of course, folk like that don't walk with me for very long. And they go somewhere else where there is a pastor that says, yeah, you bring your needs to me. I'll go to God and I'll get the job done for you. And what they do is create a follower, a dependent. They are harming and shackling a believer who could receive directly from God and from the Word, and they're making them a groupie. Idolatry. I hate this groupie stuff. I don't participate in it. When I see good ministers of God, well, I'll leave other names out, but other ministers I know, there's always a core trying to cozy up to them, and they become kind of a groupie, and they say these flattering things, and they start drinking their coffee the same way that so-and-so drinks it, and start dressing just like them, and all that stuff. It's nice to be supported, but I know for a fact, Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, hate that stuff and started disassociating with people who were like that. But we're talking about a people who exceed their boundaries, and it's basically even if they don't say, you know who I am in God, you know? Do you know who you're talking to? It's that kind of an attitude. And if you spot that in somebody, run. Have nothing to do with that and reject that. And you would think after enough years you could teach through a church and you just wouldn't have it anymore. And most of them are long gone. But it's shocking sometimes how easily that crops up. I know of none of it right now in our church. That's good. But it's not that long ago, and we had our share of that, and it was a constant problem. And we had, do I dare say, there is a susceptibility where this shows up a lot. We've had individuals through the years that want to have control of the prayer group, and I am very careful about that. And we've had our share of trouble with them, even in recent years. And I won't go any further with it today, but the Bible does talk about husband and wife. And there are some specifics. There are some boundaries, husband and wife, how they relate to one another. And husbands and wives, you need to know clearly what those are so that you stay in the proper place and your dominion will work. While I say that, let me add this. Husbands, many have usurped authority over a wife that they did not have. And so I'm talking about both ways here. When it goes in this direction, it's witchcraft. It's not just problem. It's evil, and it's wicked, and it's abuse, and it's harm, and it can come from the pastor if he doesn't stay within the boundaries, within the realm that God gives him. So, you must know your boundaries. You should learn these. We should learn these as children. For instance, one child may be taught to stay out of another child's room. You can call stuff like that. Mom, she's in my room, messing with my stuff. We had a little bit of that. We had a boys' room and a girls' room when we had the kids, and I think Tim liked to come in over and just mess with your stuff, right? Just fun. He wasn't wicked about it, but he was kind of... as children, they should learn, that's not your realm. That's someone else's. So we had things in our house that went on like that too. But as adults, they're just beautiful, close relationships that they have. And it's a wonderful thing. But children need to learn boundaries. Children who don't learn boundaries will have trouble as adult with boundaries as well. Children should learn how to defend what's theirs. It's okay if they protest. This is my realm. This is my area. You can stay out of it. They should learn to defend what's theirs and not intrude what's another's. Same at school. If we would learn this as children, we'd do much better as adults. Adults need to know what's their room and stay out of somebody else's room. Right? And there's adult versions of what I'm talking about with Tim and Jessica as children. There's adult versions of somebody just goading. They know how to push the buttons of somebody and stir them up and then giggle about it and think it's entertainment and fun and all of that, you know. We need to know how to stay, keep your hands to yourself. You know, how often is that said? Stay in your dominion and don't intrude into another person's. Well, where do we learn what is in our room? My stuff is in my room, right? My sphere, my dominion, my boundaries. So we started out by talking about authority comes from an author. Where do you learn about your dominion? From the author. God has defined the boundaries for your life. Where are we going to find that? We're going to find that from the Word. We're going to find that in the Spirit of God, bearing witness in our heart, teaching us, revealing. And wherever we are charged with authority, we are also responsible to rule and have dominion in that area. You don't have to think too far into the parable of talents. Jesus gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, 1 to 1. In that parable, the master gave charge, responsibility, a certain amount of money, do business with this. And when the master came back, you know, how'd you do? 5 turned to 10, 2 turned to 4 or 5 or whatever it was, you know. And then the one, oh, I know you're a hard guy, and I was afraid, and I just buried it in the ground. Here, here's your money. And what does the master say to that servant? You wicked, slothful, or lazy servant. So what am I getting at? In your charge, in your domain, God has made an investment in you. And He expects you to operate in your dominion and to produce fruit. It's not just so you can feel all in charge. It's so that you produce fruit. Your life, your dominion is to produce good things. That's what it's for. And the Lord, when He returns, and all of us one day will be judged before the Lord, before Jesus, it will be, what did you do with, we often say gifts, but it'll be, what did you do with the dominion that I gave you? And if we were one that was invested in heavily, and we don't produce with that dominion, well, I mostly mind my own business and just stayed out of the way. That's burying it in the ground. No, Jesus said it this way, to whom much is given, much is required. Required. So we all have a dominion. And if you won't exercise your dominion and use it and know it and understand it, everything goes soft on you and it doesn't work anymore. And one day, we'll give an account for how we use that dominion. Sometimes we pray, we want God to make things right. God, this situation's not right. God wants you to do something about it. Well, He did something about it. He put you in charge. If it's not right and you see it, if it's inside your boundaries, now there may be things, let's say in church, and you see problems in the church and it's not inside your boundaries, you could maybe talk to somebody about what you see and present some problems. Better yet, present yourself to help solve the problem. Right? But if it is in your realm, you'll be charged by God. And if it needs changing and it comes to your attention, I mean, if you want to bring to me, look, you know, Pastor Dan, I've been praying and this is heavy on my heart. The church needs to do such and such. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Obviously, God's put that on your heart for you to do something about it. Oh, no, I wasn't going to do something about it. I just wanted to make sure you do something about it. No, I don't take my commands from somebody telling me what needs to happen in the church. And by the way, I probably know anyway. I already know. Yeah, and I could fill in the details for you and tell you how bad it really is. But when it's on your heart, it's likely it's a charge from God. God, do something about it. He did. He put you in charge. Or He gave you a dominion. He gave you a responsibility. This may even be, again, stewardship. You wicked and lazy servant. If we don't do something with the charge that we've been given. And I mentioned already that I happen to be reading Joshua, Judges, and so on. And in there, there's a number of examples of the land was given, the promised land was given to Israel and all its various tribes. And you can read all the boundaries of this tribe as this territory and that tribe. But you'll find years pass and there were still areas where those tribes had not possessed the land. They didn't go in and take it. It was given to them. It was theirs. Well, God, we need you to do something about this. I did. I gave it to you and sent you in. And if they would go to battle and exercise their dominion, they would drive them out. But more than one of the tribes did not ever get into the land that was given to them because they didn't see it through. God, give us the land. He did. Go get it. And so when something has been given you and is in your dominion, don't think there won't be a fight. There will be. But because it's given to you, you win the fight. And if you know that going in, you don't quit, you don't quit, you don't quit, you don't quit, you see it through. And then as you read into Judges particularly and further in Israel's history, you know, there were instances where this tribe didn't drive out the Canaanites. Well, then they started having trouble with the Canaanites and all these different people. That's why God said, drive them out. It's your domain. And if you don't drive them out, you're going to have trouble with them from now on. And Israel did, had lots of trouble at different times. And when you read about Gideon and so on, that's a reversal of 40 years of trouble from a people that they failed to drive out. And so they had the dominion, didn't see it through. You've been given dominion. You were made for dominion. Your dominion has boundaries. Find out what they are. How do you find out? God's Word, God's Spirit will teach you. You're being taught now. And then possess the land. Take it. Take it. Take it. Exercise your dominion. You may have some troubles at home right now. Are they in your dominion? Yeah, they're in my dominion. Then it's up to you. Get on it, get serious about it, and drive the enemy out. And if it's in your dominion, you will drive them out.
Amen.
Amen. And don't be pushed off of your throne, your seat of dominion, no matter what. You stick with it, you stick with it, you stick with it. If it's outside your boundaries and you're trying to do something that's outside, you're going to have nothing but heartache from that. You're going to have all kinds of heartache from that. So it starts with knowing the boundaries. And that's what the message has been about today. Boundaries. Know the boundaries. Know the boundaries. So that's my exhortation to you today. Know the boundaries. If you know the boundaries, you're a long way toward being effective in your dominion. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this word today. We are instructed. We are fed. May we go from this place benefiting from exercising our dominion, rightfully so, in the areas within our boundaries. We thank you for the Spirit of God continuing to remind us of these things and teach us with further light and illumination. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.